Hire number 5 is from the Inspector of the Office of the Sheriff requesting authorization to abolish 18 positions of Deputy Sheriff Sergeants and create 18 full-time Correctional Officer Lieutenants for the County Correctional Facility, the Office of Sheriff, effective February 21st, 2011. This will also go to the Personnel Committee.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, Supervisors. This item we bring to you for the following reasons. Back in mid-2000, we, through the county board's approval, started hiring correctional officers, replaced deputies at the downtown jail. Since then, in 2009, through board approval again, Sheriff Clark took over the county correctional facility south. There are approximately 300 officers that work down at the south facility, that is correctional officers, and we have around 200 correctional officers now at the downtown facility. One thing that took place back in 2009 was all first-line supervisors were made lieutenants. It abolished the sergeant rank at the south. So in keeping in line with that, downtown jail currently has sergeant positions, sworn sergeant positions that are in charge of the correctional officers and the deputies that remain. And at this point, we happen to have 20 vacant positions of sergeant, which we've been filling with temporary appointments. So based on the number of correctional officers that are currently in place at the downtown facility and the south facility and the interchanging that we do between the two for transfer purposes, it's the perfect timing now to make everything the same within the correctional environment and add on these correctional lieutenants and abolish the vacant positions. So we're asking that the board would approve this changeover. Again, this would make everything cohesive. Sorry, my throat's messed up here. Excuse me. Between the south and the central, then we'll have a cohesive unit, and this will work out good. The financial benefits, of course, are listed in the document as well in accomplishing this. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions from the committee? Supervisor Johnson?
Mr. Chairman, I move approval.
Supervisor Johnson moves approval. Supervisor Smith?
Thank you. I think, didn't we all get the same correspondence this morning from Rich Graber, Vice President of the Milwaukee Deputy Sheriff's Association. Did anybody get this besides me?
Okay.
I think I got it.
Okay. And the question is, so this is new information for us after looking in. I like what's happened. We've had board approval for the transfers. We're going to get more correctional officers. But I thought always the point was maybe you could speak to it, please, Inspector. When we get the correction of it, isn't it the whole point moving deputies out of the jail so they can do more of the law enforcement, the expressways, the stuff we had overtime, and we want to get income in? So is there a quid pro quo here? This memo talks about that there's still 60 deputies, over 60 deputies, 11 additional deputies still doing the transportation, which Whack and Hunt we hired to do. I know it's a shortage of staff for Whack and Hunt. So I know it's maybe not completely related, but it goes into this whole idea of replacing deputy sheriffs. Personally, I think most of us, not all, agreed that we want to see our officers on the streets, not just in the jail. These are duties correction officers can do less in the budget. We appreciate the budget implications. We've asked the sheriff to do this, as I know this has been part of it. So I am wearing two different hats kind of looking at this. So my specific question would be, is by hiring these, there's no loss of jobs, of course, that we understand, okay, but are these deputies who are in the jail now, either the facilities, and would be moved then into other duties? Could I have an explanation of that, please? That's what I'd be looking for. Thank you.
Hey, Mr. Thank you. Chairman,
yes.
Supervisor, excellent question. Yes, the sheriff's full intent is to move deputies into exactly what you described. We don't want deputies working in the jail once we've hired enough correctional officers. Just as an update, which might help with this, we have 21 correctional officers currently in training right now. We do have a few more vacant positions we want to fill that will allow us to move the deputies into the other areas of the sheriff's office operations. You did bring up inmate transportation.
Mm-hmm.
I met with WAC and HUD yesterday to go through their staffing levels. They have all of their individuals hired. There are 8 more individuals that are finishing training school with them. They go through a complete training to make sure they match what is needed with our agency for the for public safety reasons. So they have those individuals hired. Within 4 weeks, those individuals will also be out on the street. So, yes, what the answer to your question is, we fully intend to move the deputies out of corrections as quickly as we can.
And then thank you. Mr. Chairman, if I may, could I ask for a follow-up since, you know, this is a budgetary item, the significant savings that were supposed to be obtained again to go to WAC and HUD instead of the deputy sheriffs. And will we be getting some kind of financial report on how this has gone in the next month or two? The idea was it not, again, that the whole inmate transportation would be WAC and HUD. That was in the budget. That's where the savings were. If I remember the, $130,000 in 2010 and $640,000 in 2011. Maybe you should be asking this to Mr. Preby. Are we going to make those kind of benchmarks? Are those hard numbers we passed this budget by? So is that what we're intending to come up with, those kind of figures for savings? And I would presume we would like to see this as a finance committee report exactly, you know, what's going on financially. It would be our responsibility to do that, I would think. Can you answer that question, please? Mr. Chairman, thank you.
Thank you. We can prepare that report for the next cycle. There was delay in implementing or having full implementation of the WAC and HUD program, so the savings for 2010 won't reach the benchmark. We didn't have a full turnover of the operation to WAC and HUD. It was piecemeal. But as the inspector mentioned, within 4 weeks, they'll be ready to take over a full operation of transportation and see the full savings each month after that.
So there will not be any, excuse me, just my last follow-up, please. So there will not be any deputies, our deputies, Milwaukee County, involved in transportation anymore then? That's the goal, is it not?
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, the answer is yes. There were some issues with them getting people hired as quickly as they wanted to, which is where the delay came in. Again, with my meeting yesterday with them, so it's very timely, they pointed out exactly how many they have. They do meet the requirements now. And again, within 4 weeks, the entire operation will be turned over to WAC and HUD.
Okay, and then we'll get I'm asking for that then. If next month is feasible or March at the latest to exactly where we are.
That is March.
Oh, okay, thank you. All right, March, yeah, thank you. Okay, thank you.
Supervisor Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As a follow-up, Inspector, do you or the major get reports of accidents or would-be accidents according to whoever's driving vehicles when it comes to transportation? I've gotten some correspondence on that, and you've indicated that now WAC and HUD has hired as many people as it has to hire so that deputies can do law enforcement duties as opposed to transportation duties. Have you or the major been receiving or reviewing those reports?
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, the answer is yes. They have had a couple of accidents since they took over. Fortunately, no one's been hurt in them. It's mainly the worst, and I'll just put it out there, the worst one that happened was they have a very large bus which scraped the side of a post. There were inmates on the bus. If you claimed injury, they were fine. But that was the most significant accident. It was really scraping up the bus. We have a process in our agency. Any accident must generate what's called a major incident. Every single accident goes to internal affairs. If it's involved with our officers, if it's WAC and HUD, they have to file a report with us, which we have received, so we are on top of this.
Thank you, Inspector. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Cady, maybe you or Mr. Regini could answer this question. What are the pension impacts of the changes?
Mr. Chairman, you had brought this up and we passed this around and took a look at it. One of the changes that you sponsored last year that was adopted by the board was a change in the pension ordinance that talked about the backdrop, and it says it would not apply to any member who is formerly a represented deputy sheriff who is appointed to a non-represented position after June 30th of 2009. So these are non-represented positions. So if it was a situation where deputy, the backdrop would not apply. In addition, the as non-represented positions, they would also have a different pension multiplier that is applying to the non-reps, and they would also be contributing a portion of their pay, as you're well aware, towards the cost of their pension. So it's hard to look at all the other iterations on the rule of 75 and eligibility for retirement, but for the most part, those large issues do not seem to be of a major concern.
Mr. Chairman, if you had any additional questions, I did ask Attorney Grady to come down, who is our expert in that field. So if you have any additional questions, he is here.
Mr. Grady, what are your, I guess, would you like to add anything else?
Mr. Chairman, supervisors, I would echo what Mr. Cady said. We did look at everything we could think of with respect to pension benefits, and we do not believe that in any of the scenarios that we could come up with that anyone stood to gain anything by, in terms of pension benefits, by taking these positions from either a deputy sheriff position or from a correction officer position.
So we're not denying anyone their pension, we're just making sure that the county is free and clear upon.
Correct.
Thank you. Any further questions? Seeing none, Madam Clerk. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, that's right. We do have one card. Did I have one for Jim Gooley?
Or no, I'm sorry, right there.
Penny Sikora. Oh, I'm sorry. Number five. Penny Sikora. Sorry.
Penny Secor, SME District Council 48, Chairman, Supervisors. I'm here to talk against this proposal before you. The reason being, and it was even brought out here in the testimony, that less than a year ago they came to us and said, we want to eliminate the sergeant position. Well, since they have done that, and we have grievances going all the way through the whole arbitration process, they're in the process right now, because of the fact that the lieutenants are doing what the sergeants used to do. So now he comes to you again and says, we want lieutenants. No, you need sergeants. Calling them lieutenants and having them do the work that the previously eliminated union positions are now gone. There are no sergeants in the correction officer. We had correction officer one and we had correction officer two. Correction officer two were the sergeants. There are no longer any sergeants. He came to you, you approved it. We have filed grievance after grievance about the fact that that sergeant work is not gone. He just eliminated the name. So now he's coming to you and saying, now we want to call them lieutenants without sergeants being there. They are going to be doing the duties of a sergeant. They have not proven to us, they have not proven through the court system by job descriptions or anything that they are anything other than what the sergeants used to be. But by calling them lieutenants, they are then unrepresented. They are also a higher salary than the correction officer too, the sergeants in place. So if you do want to save money, then you need to reenact the sergeants. But the best part is by calling them lieutenants, they are non-represented. He gets to pick and choose who goes into that. They are not posted. They are not applied for in a fair and manner where everybody does an interview. You're rated, your seniority counts, the things in the contract counts. And what I find so interesting is that either us as the union or you as supervisors, like, wouldn't see just the name change, whereas the duties are still there. So I'm asking you, do not approve this. This is just a name game. The jobs are still there. They need to be done by sergeants who are represented. I would ask you not to approve this.
Thank you. Any questions from the committee?
We have one more person who would like to speak on this item. We have Rich Graber.
Good morning. I'm Rich Graber, Vice President of Deputy Sheriff's Association. I just wanted to point out a couple of things. First of all, if the sheriff's intent is to put correctional staff in the correctional facilities and move the sworn staff out to do law enforcement duties, he's not doing that because, he's just recently transferring deputy sheriffs to the cell facility where they are working in dorms and pods supervising sentenced prisoners. So if this is his intent, he hasn't shown that they've been following that from the beginning. Number two, by going from the sergeants to the lieutenants, he's not changing DSA members to correction lieutenants. So I believe that these correction lieutenants, they'll be coming from correction officers or whoever. That is going to, if they're eligible for a backdrop, that is going to boost their backdrop. So he's not taking deputy sheriff sergeants and making them correction lieutenants, which I think is what I heard earlier. So I think all this is a maneuver to once again eliminate 18 represented employees and make them non-rep so he can do what he wants at will. And I also oppose this. Thank you.
Attorney Grady, now this is a question made a very good. I have a question for you. If we approve this, the person, will that backdrop stop and it comes from a non-union, from a union to non-union, and then everything drops to 1.6 and no backdrop?
If I understand your question correctly, Chairman and Supervisors, the individual who's an SP member currently who moves into one of these non-represented positions and retires from that non-represented position, I do not believe would be eligible for a backdrop and would have a 1.6 multiplier for their time of service during this lieutenant position.
I would like to lay this over until we get to this property. Ask yourself if they qualify for the benefit, and I'd like to ask other questions afterwards because there's more to it. I'd like to let it go to the caucus chair.
Supervisor West.
Thank you. Could we also get a report back on overtime? If it is supposed to be, if this measure is supposed to cut down overtime, what I'd like to see, because we've been doing the correctional officer for 7 years, and so we should, by this point, have seen some progress in regards to the overtime in the specifically in the jails at the House of Correction.
Okay. So are you asking this of Inspector Schmidt, or would you like to prepare this report?
Inspector Schmidt.
Okay. Could I add one more thing?
Yes.
On that note, we are paying. Like I said, we have deputy sheriffs sitting in dorms at the cell facility. In the meantime, we are paying overtime in the courts every day. Deputies from the jail are being mandatory after the regular 8 hours to go work in the courts because they're short. We're paying overtime on the freeway. So we have deputies in correction, like I said, that could be alleviating overtime that are being used as dorm officers. So if that's his intent, he's certainly not following.
Okay. Inspector Schmidt.
Yes, sir. Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, just a couple of points that some facts that need to be brought out. Number one is that we are not up to full staff on correctional officers yet. As I stated, we've hired 21 that are currently in class. We intend to have one more class this year, probably at the end of March or the beginning of April. Until we have all the correctional officers completely hired and vacancies filled, we do need to use some deputy sheriffs at times to fill in those gaps so that it's not a matter of trying to keep them in the correctional facility. It's a matter of staffing levels. We need them to help out until those classes are done. On the other issue, if Mr. Grady happens to have his answers, it would be appreciated if we could put this through. Otherwise, of course, we understand.
Well, with respect to the backup, which is what I believe Supervisor Mayo has been
did, as Mr. Kay indicated, in the summer of 2009, adopt an amendment to the Bangkok ordinance that would prevent a deputy sheriff who becomes a non-represented employee after that date of 2009 from obtaining a background. So to the extent a deputy sheriff would decide to become a correction officer or lieutenant, they will not gain the background. With respect to AFSCME employees, spoke earlier, an AFSCME employee does have a right to a backdrop. They're not going to gain a right to a backdrop by coming to this non-represented position. They're going to retain the same right that they always had. They're not going to lose it. They're not going to gain anything. They're going to have the same right they had.
Let me flesh that a little bit more. See, that's the question I have. You gave us one answer, we have to go back. I want to make sure that we have everything proper, so I will let continue. My motion is on the floor. Let us go to the call of chair, and I will have more questions for you to make sure that we have this properly in front of us.
So, any other questions? The motion is to lay over to the call of the chair. Madam Clerk, can you call the roll?
On the layover, Supervisor Smale.
Aye.
Schmidt.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
West.
Aye.
Jerzy.
Aye.
Mr. Chair.
Aye.
Motion to layover to the call of the chair, 6-0.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Can we go back to item number 4? I see.